What do you reckon the king is doing now? Do you ever wonder about things like that? Imagining very high profile people and just thinking, I wonder what they are doing right now. Go on, I want you to turn to the person next to you, the people sitting around you, and I want you to share your thoughts. What is King Charles doing right now? Off you go. Okay, let's come back together. I've heard, I can overhear a few suggestions. Good suggestion down the front here. Maybe he's gone to a carol service. I think somebody over there is saying maybe he's just still recovering from watching the World Cup final. Here's my guess. I bet he's not watching Netflix. In my mind right now, he's in a comfy armchair in Sandringham. He's got a cup of something warm. He's just had a couple of crumpets with honey. He's got a Kit Kat ready to go. And he's just getting set to do a bit of reading. But he can't find his glasses. Oh, Camilla dear. Oh, have you seen my glasses? Now that's just speculation. I've got no insider knowledge. But there you go. That's what I reckon. I actually checked the official register today, just in case that the king was undertaking an official engagement this evening, in which case we might have known where he was and what he was doing, but alas, nothing in there for today. Now, at Christmas, we celebrate the arrival of a new king. When the angel appeared to Mary, which we read about in chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel, that is what she is told. The angel says to her, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Jesus is to be given a throne. He is to reign. He is to have a kingdom because he is a king. When we celebrate at Christmas, we celebrate the arrival of a new king. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels, as we've just sung. In just a few minutes, in our final carol, we'll sing that great refrain, Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Just as in September, Britain welcomed a new king, well, so the Bible tells us the whole world did when Jesus was born. But that raises the question, doesn't it? What is the king doing now? We don't know what King Charles is doing all the time, of course, but we do know what he's doing quite a lot of the time. So, for example, we do know that next week, on Christmas Day, he'll go to the church at St. Mary Magdalene on the Sandringham Estate. That was the Queen's pattern, and we've been told, it's been kind of officially announced, that King Charles will be continuing that tradition. There'll be plenty of cameras there to record the moment. So we know quite a lot about King Charles and where he is and what he's doing. But what about Jesus? If Jesus is the king who arrived at that first Christmas, then, well, where is he now? What is he doing? Well, to help us think about that, I want to ask another question first. And that is the question, what is the king supposed to do? By that I don't mean England's king, I mean God's king. What is Jesus supposed to do? Sometimes we know what someone is supposed to do by virtue of their job title. For example, there's somewhere in London this Christmas that has been advertising for ice rink hand holders. Now, I rather like that as a job. That seems like quite a nice sort of clear turn. It's clearer, I think, than calling people ice marshals or rink support team, or whatever else you might want to call them. If that is your job, if you're an ice rink hand holder, I think you've got a pretty good idea of what you're supposed to do. And hopefully you've also got a pretty well padded pair of trousers. Well, in the reading that Sanja brought for us just a few moments ago, in Luke's account of the Nativity, we get a bit of an insight into what King Jesus is supposed to do, because we get given some of his job titles. So there in chapter 2, verse 11, now I'm aware that it's not very bright in here and the type is pretty small, so don't worry about trying to read it, you'll just have to take my word for it and then take your copy of Luke's Gospel home and have a look later. But there in chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." In fact, there are three job titles in there. Saviour, Messiah, Lord. As the angel announces to the shepherds the birth of this king, he tells them that's who he is and that's what he's supposed to do. Saviour, Messiah, Lord. He's supposed to be a saviour, which is to say he's supposed to come and rescue people who are in danger. And as well as being a saviour, he's supposed to be the Messiah, which is to say that he's supposed to be the one that God had promised for centuries, the one who would come and rescue his people, not just from their current temporary problems, but from the problems that have beset people always, the problems of suffering and sorrow that result from the problem of sin, the problem of our broken relationship with God. Saviour, Messiah, Lord. Lord is another way of saying he's going to be in charge. He is going to rule. Saviour, Messiah, Lord. Rescuing, righting wrong, ruling. Those are quite the job titles, aren't they really? Sounds like it'd be quite a lot easier to be an ice rink hand holder, doesn't it? And so that leads us on to another important question. If that is what the king is supposed to do, how does the king achieve that? Because it's all very well having laudable aims and grand ambitions. It's quite another thing to do them. I mean, just think about the Prime Minister for a moment. Which one, you might think? That's not a very simple question in 2022, is it? Well, frankly, you can think about any of them. Boris Johnson. He had some pretty big things that he wanted to achieve, levelling up and all that. But doing them, well, that was another matter. Or Liz Truss, remember her? She wanted growth, 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 which sounds great, but not so easy in practice. Or Rishi Sunak, what does he want? Well, maybe he just wants a bit less drama. Well, I don't think that seems very likely, does it? If King Jesus, if the baby in the manger is supposed to achieve things which go way beyond those ambitions, how on earth is he going to achieve them? Well, of course, to find the answer to that question, we need to go beyond Bethlehem. Luke hints at that fact, even here in his nativity story, actually. In verse 19 of Luke chapter 2, he says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Mary treasured and pondered these things in her heart. Luke wrote his gospel by going and speaking to the eyewitnesses. He tells us right at the very beginning how he'd put his gospel together, by talking to those who were there, quite possibly including Mary herself. I think that seems highly likely. And I suspect that's her little reflection, looking back. That as these events unfolded, all the while, you can hear her saying, I kept thinking, pondering, wondering, what is going to happen? I don't see how all this is going to work out. I don't see how my baby boy can do all the things that seem to be being said about him. I'm not sure how he can achieve all these things he's supposed to achieve. Mary's questions, of course, would be answered not at Christmas, but at Easter. As she stood before the cross where her son was crucified, beneath the sign that read, "The King." King Jesus dying for his people, so that he might be their saviour. The Messiah giving his own life, taking the punishment that our sins deserve, so that the broken relationship between us and God might be put right. And then King Jesus, 3 days later, rising again to rule. When he spoke to the disciples on the day of his resurrection, Jesus said this. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Just as the shepherds had gone to tell others the amazing news that they'd heard about the king's birth, so those who were there at his resurrection, his rebirth, would go and tell others, just as they have been doing ever since. Which leads us to one final question. What now? Well, we started by asking, what is the king doing now? And not King Charles, who by now has found his glasses and started to read before slowly nodding off. That's my guess. But Jesus now is not asleep. He is risen and ruling. He's not physically present in our world as he was at the incarnation, but he's no less genuinely active and involved. That is the testimony of the Bible. That is the testimony of God's people. You could ask the person who brought you this evening about that. And one day he will come again, the second advent, when he will complete the task that his titles describe. Through his death, he has already rescued us, if we trust in him. And when he returns, he will fully and finally put right every wrong and rule over a renewed creation, the perfect king of a perfect eternal kingdom. As the angel told Mary, his kingdom will never end. And in the meantime, he is the king of an ever-growing kingdom. As more and more people hear this good news and trust in Jesus for the rescue that they need, as more and more people say, "He is the king we need. He is the king that I need," and follow him as Saviour and Lord. If you want to see the ongoing work of Jesus in the world, then you only need to look at the impact of his word in the world and the change in which it brings about in people's lives and in whole communities. And this Christmas, let me encourage you to look for yourself. Please take away the copy of Luke's Gospel that was on your chair. We don't want to have to clear them all up again afterwards. Please take it away and read it. It's no accident that the lifetime of King Jesus produced these first-hand eyewitness accounts into his life, and that they have gone on to be by far the most passed on and most read documents in human history. That's the kind of impact that the Lord of human history has. You could also take away one of the books that we've got at the back, which I thought I had a copy of up here, but I don't. Anyway, there's some white books on the table at the back called "Is Christmas Unbelievable?" Many of us would say, well, it's a lovely story. It's a nice idea, isn't it? It would be wonderful if it were true, if Jesus really were the Saviour, the Messiah, if Jesus really were the perfect king. But surely it's not much better than a fairy story. I mean, just listen to the sort of stuff that we're supposed to believe, the sort of stuff that Luke tells us. Can we really take seriously the Nativity? Can we really believe the Christmas story? Well, those books, they're completely free. Please feel free to take one away. Is Christmas unbelievable? Ask that question from a number of different angles to help us think it through. We seek to offer here regularly at the chapel ways to go on looking. Somebody could happily read through a gospel with you. You could come along every Sunday. We're here 10:30. Join one of our midweek study groups or something like that. Because if the angels weren't kidding, if Luke was really listening properly, if right now Jesus really does rule and will do so forever, then there could be nothing more crucial and nothing more wonderful than knowing him and honouring him as Saviour, Messiah, Lord, King. Let me pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank and praise you that King Jesus humbled himself and came to our world. We thank you that you took the initiative to rescue us from the danger and repair the damage that we had caused by our rejection of you. We thank you that Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and the sure promise of his return have all been so clearly recorded and made known to us. We thank you that you give us the grace of time and opportunity to hear and to know Jesus for ourselves, to have him as King of our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.